Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, who is currently the voice of Jimmy Ten Strings in the animated feature film Hoodwink 2, which is playing at a theater near you, even if you live in Laughlin. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitis. I write the Cats Report, LasVegasSun.com, LasVegasWeekly.com. What's happening, Dishy?
It's Tricia McCrone, Las Vegas publicist, national television producer, and still not recovered from last Friday.
That was your birthday party.
Yes, Cats, mm-hmm. And Alicia Jacobs and Tom Racine. We have to give out huge mad props to the Tropicana and Cafe Nikki. Mm-hmm.
Angry
and Tom
props
Racine.
To Cafe Nikki and our friend Tom Racine, who's the vice president of food and beverage at the Tropicana, where they're changing everything, including your age.
Exactly. Including my ability to ever drink again.
Including your memory. Well, yeah, that was quite an event. We had... It was a star-studded field. It looked like surreal life around
it
that
did.
Room.
It did. Yeah,
Josh Strickland.
Josh Strickland sang my happy birthday, which I will go ahead and post it on our Twitter. At
yeah, you should do that.
Cats of the Dish.
I've
it was
got
on
a version
my personal.
Of it too.
Yeah. Oh, you
yeah,
do?
I do have that. I've been forgetting to put
I
that out.
I haven't heard
yeah.
yours, so you need to do that. Yeah, it was Josh Catherine Hickland, soap opera star, hypnotist, makeup woman, author, everything in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mark Savard.
Mark Savard.
V Theater. He's a former guest of ours.
Exactly. Tara Palsha from Vegas the Show. Tanya Popovich.
Tanya Popovich.
Not to get confused.
Who's never been in Vegas the Show or Peep Show or is no longer at Marrakesh, but yet she's a dear, dear friend.
And she's the best belly dancer ever.
The best belly dancer, and she's got 9-inch eyelashes.
Yes, and it's also it's her birthday this weekend, so an early happy birthday to Tanya,
absolutely.
My girl, my pow-pow partner. Oh my gosh,
Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas.
Who's the leprechaun at O'Shea's, among other roles he plays. What is his exact title? He's an actor spokesperson.
Yes.
A good dude. Very
Dory,
good guy.
Dora Maar Bonilla. Dory, the creator of Dory Shoes.
Who has... made popular the Booty Shake
in Sin City
Booty
Comedy.
Shake, and we had a whole cast of characters.
Our Alicia Jacobs,
Seth,
of
Alicia,
course,
you mentioned who, Seth yeah, Udoff, a good friend of ours, was down there.
She actually co-hosted the party. My friend Sheila came in from Boston.
Who has yet to have a show on the Strip, but we're holding out hope.
Yeah, it's coming.
Stephanie Sanchez, also a very good friend of ours, who was one time she's putting together a duo. That she's going to come out with a musical duo called, I think they're going to call it The Dollhouse. Look out for that. And she used to be in Fantasy.
Yeah, she was the main girl in Fantasy for forever.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, yeah, so we, I mean, it was, and I'm sure there's many people that I'm forgetting because let's face it, I'm forgetting.
My boss, Rob Curley.
Yes. And and his beautiful wife, Betsy.
And Betsy. Yeah, they showed up. They
were, Doug Elfman.
Doug, my friend and of the Review Journal, my friend and rival, as we call ourselves. Friends first, rival second. Good.
And
good
very
dude.
Funny is that we had a picture and it was actually, my party was the day of the royal wedding. So I said we were the ghetto royal wedding because Tanya Popovich gave me a tiara, which I can't believe stayed on from dinner at 8 o'clock. 9 o'clock was dinner. No, 7:30 was dinner.
Well, dinner was at 8.
Yeah, dinner was at 8 o'clock. I opened my gifts from a small little dinner, and I kept the tiara on till 6:30 in the morning when
I
got dropped off at home. How did that happen?
I think it was somehow fastened to your head by the spray tan solution that you had on.
I don't know.
That stuff is like it's worse or better than mortar.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I can't believe it stayed on. So yeah, so I was doing my own little version of Princess Kate all day, much more older and aged, and
I was the dullard Prince William.
Oh, you were never dullard.
But I looked great. Yeah, as I've been telling people after this party, that did last until 6:30 in the morning. It ended up at the Bootlegger.
Josh Strickland. Josh is always the guy that keeps me out. Yeah.
My jacket that I wore that night looks like it's been through, and almost looks like it's been through a military action. If I were going into war against a Mary Kay Brigade,
no,
or something.
If you were going with fairies, literally, if you were like with Tinkerbell and a troop of fairies, that's what your jacket looks like. I apparently
it's not a reference to anybody in the crowd.
Yes,
either.
I believe. shrapnel of glitter and spray tan and self tan and makeup and eyelashes.
I look like I got hit by the Maybelline truck. I mean, it's got blood on it. It's got a bullet hole in the shoulder. I mean, it's burn holes in it from cigars.
You're so exaggerating.
Horrifying. But I took it down to the cleaners, my friends at Tiffany, to fix it up. So we'll be ready for the next birthday event.
I will go and pick up the Tiffany cleaners jacket and pay for it, because it seems to be my
penance.
Glitter and various self, but I looked tan and I looked good, right?
All true.
And as before, I went and had my makeup done by Kim Katunis, who is amazing. And I have to say, like, she did the eyelashes and everything. I was very happy with my makeup. And granted, some of it came off on your jacket throughout. I mean, I think everybody who I hugged.
I'm just pointing out. Yeah, that will happen.
Everybody who
especially
I hugged,
black
I think,
jacket.
Got a little part of me, I guess you could say. But, you know, the cake. I have to talk about the cake. The cake was so cool. And again, I'll post it on @cats at the dish on Twitter. We had, it was me. It was my caricature.
The sketch that Chris Morris from our company has done for both of us, and we pulled you aside and made a cake out of the image.
It was very cool.
The Tropicana catering department did that.
It was very cool. Again, to the Tropicana, Alex Yamanijian really and Tom Racine, the whole gang.
We've been spending a lot of time at the Trop lately.
I know it is. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going back tonight. So for something
that's
else,
right?
But back to the whole thing. We have to also say dinner was at Biscayne at the Tropicana.
True that.
And lovely Tom Racine, like, sent over all the wine and everything, that which was wonderful. And then they really did, you and Alicia and Tom, threw me what was essentially like a drink fest.
So, I mean, for you all.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
I do not
Katz
drink.
Was the responsible one. But yeah, no, we it kind of started, the drinking started at dinner. And for those of the people that showed up at the party at 9 o'clock. Oh, we also had Justin from Recycled Percussion. We also should mention
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah, that was there. And Melinda Fader, Terry Fader's from Terry Fader fame. And it was a great night.
It really was.
I want to say thank you. And today's the first day I have my voice back, really.
Well, we're fortunate for that. Yeah. Not to speak in platitudes here, but it was the greatest party of all time.
It was. And thank you, Katz and Alicia and Tom, for doing it. But I'm
going
to throw out the
thank yous. They've got a lot going on at the Trop. You know, I was down there again for Recycled Percussion, did their DVD recording on Tuesday night. That's going to come out next month. They've got Gladys Knight down there. A lot of stuff happening at the showroom. They've done this thing that I don't know if we've talked about, but they're projecting images of their shows on the side of the building. Their promotional advertising on that white side of the building that faces the strip. They're going to do that. Brad Garrett and everybody has done spots. And on a week ago Sunday, Jay Bloom, who runs the Mob Experience, played Rock Band on the side of that hotel. 43,000 square feet of Rock Band.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then tourists were stopping on the strip, or maybe locals too, and recording it and taking pictures of it.
That's
it was
pretty
just
cool.
Wild. Yeah,
well, maybe since we're now so much a part of the Trop Experience, they'll let us. Like play, I don't know, what did we used to play? That pong?
Beep, yeah.
That exactly. Tennis pong? Since that's where my speed is, I'm aging myself.
It's my audio impression of pong.
I play Good Ms. Pac-Man in Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah, that's on your phone. What else is happening? We were at, we want to talk about Hotel California, a new
restaurant. It's a lovely place. Such a lovely place.
We stabbed it with the steely knives, but we just
could not kill the beast.
Kill the beast. Guitar solo, Joe Walsh.
Clevelander, by the way.
Is he really?
Yes. Well, no, wait. No, let me put it this way.
I think he's from Pocatello, Idaho.
He might have been, but he spent a lot of time in Cleveland. Something like
haven't
that.
We all?
I don't know.
No, wait. No, we haven't.
No, you haven't.
This is a Hotel California is a new restaurant that's out in a somewhat cursed, they say, parcel out in Boca Park. And
I didn't know it was cursed. I just thought that they wanted it blessed.
They are joking that it was cursed, and here's why. It has been the site of two very good restaurants before. Hannah's out there, and then C. Stone was another place out there. Both high quality, high caliber places. They couldn't make it. So what they did was they've opened up this place. It's going to be open tonight. And they brought out a shaman.
Yes, and I had her name in my purse.
Are you looking
searching,
for her card?
And I can't find it.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Now that is bad luck, right? You're
no,
cursed now. If
I'm
you lose
not
the
cursed.
Shaman's shaman? Shazam. Anyway, the Shazam's card has been lost.
The shaman.
Shaman.
She blessed the property to make it.
God bless the property.
Yes.
And or bless shaman bless the property in this case. And you met her.
Yes, I talked to her for a while, and I actually she does healing.
Yes. So she had a dog with her. She had Brookie with her.
She had Brookie.
So, no, I'm wrong. Oh, other kind of healing.
Healing.
She's in the rodeo. You have a roper and a healer.
No. No, she does healing. And so I thought, you know, because of my lupus, I thought that maybe I should call her. It is National Lupus Awareness Month, by the way.
Is May. It really?
Yes. Thank you. I want to throw that out there.
For a weekend. It's National Lupus Month.
It is.
Where do I donate?
You know, you just need to make it aware, and we just did.
Okay. And lupus exists.
Speaking of which, on the way home from the event, I got a call from the Hotel California event that if I wanted to get my spray tan, that I had to go immediately. And so you took me.
I took you to get spray tan.
To get spray tan. And?
And you're tanner now than you were before we went to the spray tanning
so
event.
So you're not like, you
look beautiful.
Thank you.
But I'll qualify that. You look beautiful before you went to get the spray tan. So you look measurably different, but you always look beautiful.
Thank you.
Now we go to Bronzed, and the woman's name Debbie. She's beautiful herself.
Yes.
And we walk in there, and there was a little bit of a kind of a tension because she had known what I'd said about spray tans.
Yeah,
I think, on the show.
She listens. We discuss.
I know. Well, she's on the show every week, so she should listen.
Well, her tans.
I had besmirched the process of spray tanning before, but I did say to her honestly, if I ever do have it done, it will be there.
But I have the home kit, so you said that I could try.
I'll bring the home kit with me. I'll sneak in. I was thinking when I was sitting there waiting for you to do your thing, there were two thoughts were running through my mind. One was, how am I going to be able to get in there to watch this? The other one was exactly what happens in the room. You have to disrobe completely, right?
Yeah.
And they give you,
you have a little
loincloth or something.
Basically, that's about the extent of it. It's like a little G-string, yes.
Yeah.
Disposable.
Well,
and a hairnet. I'm quite a lovely vision at that point.
I tweeted out while I was waiting for you to get bronzed, that spray tans are going to be the death of us all. I sent that out as an open tweet just to be funny, and some people thought like I had some sort of inside information about the process, which I have to clarify, I don't. It's completely safe. I was just joking. It's going to be the death
safer,
of us all.
Especially for those of us with lupus.
Now, as someone with lupus, I ask you,
yes,
since it's lupus awareness,
it is lupus awareness
year, or life in my case, shouldn't you get a coupon from Bronze as a lupus sufferer?
I'll have to talk to Debbie about that.
Debbie, about this.
I'm gonna, as a matter of fact,
30% off.
Exactly. Well, and also Tanya Popovich did give me certificates for Bronze for my birthday, in addition to the tiara, by the way.
Man, so you're never gonna get around to the self-tan kit.
I'm
are
not.
You?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I don't, yeah, I'm gonna try it out. I just didn't want to try it out when I have
somewhere to go. Manufactured
by
our friends at International Harvester, the first name in farm machinery.
And I didn't get that joke last week.
I know, that was pretty funny.
That's
I throw it
the
out
worst
there.
Part of it.
The moment I said that, and I just thought of it again when I said it, Trish has no frame of reference for International Harvester.
Well, I'm like, really?
They made Tracker. I should have said Caterpillar, but they don't.
John Deere, I would have gotten.
Yeah, Dear John, I've gotten. Oh, not long ago either, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, you look fabulous, and I think that if you want to do the spray tan thing, make sure, the only advice I would ever have, whether you suffer from lupus or not, is to plan accordingly. Make sure you have it in your schedule.
Which
you
I did.
Build time.
Exactly.
Yeah, you had an emergency spray tan.
I had an emergency session. It was or die.
I thought I was going to have to take you to UMC afterwards.
Exactly.
What else is happening here, you know?
And, you were very kind, and it does have a rather farm animal-ish smell.
Goats.
When you first get it done. I did infect your car, which I've done a lot because not only have I gotten your car smelly last night, I also had this really fabulous dress on for Friday night for my birthday that had like rivets, like it was very, very hot.
Yeah, it was.
Again, I'll post pictures.
Rhinestones.
It was like rhinestones and sequins and studs.
Oh, wait, that was a driver.
you're exactly right. And I left indents in your car seat.
I know, for days.
In the Malibu.
There was evidence of you in the car for quite a while.
Exactly.
And it was the spray tan on the seat, which is still there.
The spray tan on the seat is still there. Let me wash it.
I'm almost like treating it like a crime scene in a way. You know, just don't touch it. And then the rivet, the indentations on the seat were another problem. But we have to get to the rest of the show.
Wait, and I also have to say happy birthday to my pup.
Oh, yes.
My dog, Gracie, Princess Gracie McCrone, is 15 on the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, and as is
Frank Mueller,
someone very dear to
us here.
Who runs
the show at KUNV 91.5 FM, your jazz leader.
Exactly.
And a great man himself.
Yes, he is. He's phenomenal.
Brigham Young University product.
Before we talk about the fact that we have a All Heartthrob show today, we have David Cassidy and Jeff Timmons, formerly of 98 Degrees, currently going to be starring in Chippendales. Talk about Josh. Josh Bell.
Oh, Josh Bell is one of my favorite journalists in Las Vegas. He also happens to be the top film critic in this city and has been for about 10 years now. We're adding him to the show. He'll be making his first appearance on Cats with a Dish between the David Cassidy and Jeff Timmons interview, and he's going to be leading off his cap of the week's movies with Thor.
Too bad he wasn't here last week. He could have talked about Hoodwink 2, but we did. So
yeah, we'll have to talk to him when he comes back in about all these films. But he's part of our permanent lineup on Cats with a Dish. And up next is one David Cassidy. Stick with us.
Hi, this is Gladys Knight, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Welcome back. Our guest first achieved worldwide fame as a teenager, starring in the hit TV show The Partridge Family and achieving millions in record sales while redefining the role of teen idol. He has been an active producer and performer ever since, most recently as a cast member on Celebrity Apprentice, and is a former headliner in two Las Vegas productions shows, FX at MGM Grand and At the Copa at the Rio, in which he co-starred with Sheena Easton. That remarkably was 10 years ago now. Saturday and Sunday, he is back in Las Vegas at the Orleans Showroom, live in concert. Welcome back to Las Vegas, and welcome to the show, David Cassidy.
Thank you, John. Great to be talking to you.
Yeah, it is always a pleasure. You're calling from Florida, right?
I'm calling from Florida, yeah.
You tending to the horses down there?
No, actually, I have been for the first time in about almost a year. I took 4 days off and went to I went to an island and played golf for 4 days.
Wow!
And I haven't had a vacation or a holiday, although I just got back from the UK and I've been touring all over. And you know, it's interesting hearing your introduction of me. Many people introduce me different ways. You know, and
go ahead and edit it.
It's a wonderful thing sometimes because I don't keep score. You know, no, I don't. But it's interesting when sometimes people say, and you also produced and wrote and created The Rat Pack Is Back. Yes, I did that.
That's right. Right.
But I didn't.
Here in Las Vegas?
I didn't. While I was in Las Vegas. Although I wrote a lot of the music, and both my wife, Sue Schifrin, and I wrote some of the stuff and brought other writers in. My brother, Sean, helped rewrite EFX.
Right.
And Don Rio, who we co-wrote and produced The Rat Pack Is Back at the DI.
That's right. I first saw that. You introduced that whole thing to Las
Vegas. Yeah, 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 we did.
I remember that. Starlight Showroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it was... It was a wonderful 6 years. I did a lot of work while I was there, but I never sang any of my hits. I have been out touring around the world, and, you know, I was doing 10 shows a week. I had 88 employees when I was there between 96 and 2001, and I also produced 3 shows and did, I think, over 2,000 performances, but for the longest time, I hadn't performed any of my hits because I'd done Blood Brothers on Broadway and
right.
on tour and in the West End. And it's been a fantastic ride to go back and play a lot of the music that, you know, millions of people grew up with. And it has reinvigorated me. And I've recently, in the last 3 months, started developing a very, very unique show that I'm going to have a couple of meetings when I'm in Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about putting something that is very, very edgy and has a very strong 18 to 25 demographic.
Really?
Huh. And very edgy, very funny, very cool.
And you will star in it?
Yeah, you're going to be on stage, David?
Well, I would do that. Yeah,
are you
going to
be the star of it?
Say that again?
Are you just producing or are you going to be the star of it as well?
I think I would star in it at least for a while or be a part of it, but I've already got investors that want me to do this. It's a very unique concept, and it's very fun, and it's scary, and it's very bizarre. But
scary, I love it.
Oh, you know, yeah, very cool. And, you know, with a lot of the films that have come out in the last 10 years, that have been focused on the 18 to 24 5 demographic have been horror films, and they all kind of have the same theme. This is like really edgy and
this
left field.
So this is a film project, David, not a stage show.
This is a stage show.
Oh, it is a stage show.
Yeah, it's just...
What kind of venue are you looking at?
Well, I have to find the right venue. It's not a venue. I just have to... I'm not going to go back there and be in a B or a C property or have to fight uphill. I mean, knowing what we all know about the economy over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's been a real struggle for, I know, in Las Vegas and Nevada in particular, has been the hardest hit
of
any state in the union. And I know that the economics have changed dramatically. So the good news for me is I don't need money. I need the right room and I need the right commitment. But this weekend, I'm going to have a couple of meetings and play the Orleans, where I've never played, although I saw my friend Bill Medley when, sadly, they are no more, but when the Righteous Brothers were there,
there. They played a lot of dates there.
It's a great room. And, you know, Willie Nelson I saw there a couple of times, and it's just going to be very exciting because I've got such an amazing band, and I'm going to do all my hits from the Partridge Family and from I Think I Love You to I Woke Up in Love This Morning.
What's it like?
And you know, we can all get happy, but it's going to be it's going to be slamming, and I'm really genuinely excited about coming back to Vegas. It's really cool.
You doing any cover song, any cover tunes, David?
I'm going to take people on a little bit of a musical journey of my life. You know, John Lennon and the Beatles. John and I were
friends. Yeah, I know this about you. Yeah, at the time you were friends. I think he said this at the time you were friends. You were selling more music than John Lennon was.
Yeah, he actually did.
Right.
Well, he was also went through a great transition in his life, which eventually I did as well. But he tried to demystify himself, and he was a very incredibly compassionate, incredibly funny, very complex, and arguably, for me, a great mentor. I mean, I got to play with Paul, too, and brilliant musician, brilliant writer, I mean, incredible. Those were the guys that I, that's the reason I went out and bought an electric guitar when I saw him on, you know, on Ed Sullivan when I was 13. I just kept on playing, and writing, and I got to work with some of the greatest writers in the world during the 5 years I was doing that, and then, you know, worked with Nick Ronson from Ziggy Stardust. And, you know, I got to work with so many great... I wrote with Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys and got to know them, and Carl and I got to become very good friends. Sadly, a number of the people I just mentioned are no longer with us, but their memory lives on in my heart, and I will come and we will blow the roof up.
Now, I have a question. We were just talking about, you know, obviously the days back then with all those wonderful people that were inspirational to you.
Yeah.
There's so many young performers out there now, and you have the benefit that you really were a teenage star before teenage stars were really known. I mean, now you have all the Justin Biebers and all those sort of things. I know your son Beau is a musician as well. What kind of advice do you have to give? I mean, you've lived it.
Well, I not only lived it, but I was the first person to be globally marketed. And because of television and because they owned my name and likeness, they did. It's been reported in the New York Times and Washington Post that they made over $500 million in merchandising.
Wow.
Well, a $500 million between 1970 and 75 would be probably about $100 billion?
That's a lot of lunchboxes.
It's a lot of lunchboxes. That's in the Smithsonian, too, so it's just really kind of cool. But because there was no precedent to the kind of fame and marketing, and it was international, I played the biggest, you know, stadiums all over the world, and it was an amazing journey, and I will be forever grateful to the people who have been fans of mine and have supported me through all of the things and the endeavors that I've gone through creatively. And, you know, I just celebrated my birthday in Atlantic City and in the UK, and
April 12th.
It was just phenomenal. So I'm genuinely thrilled with what has happened in my life, and I'm so appreciative of all the people that have been so incredibly supportive of my fans.
If you could, David, if you had the opportunity to sit somebody like a Justin Bieber down and just give him
advice,
say anything to that person, because they're, you know, they're the you of today as your career has arced out. What would you say to that person?
Well, I've always left myself in a situation where if anybody needs education or information, or if they need or care to have my input, I'm there for them. And it's interesting. I was thinking about Lindsay Lohan and what a sad and what a shame it is, and how as young and talented as she is, and how making the choices she's made has really put her in a situation where she may not be able to come back. And there was a time, I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, I thought, I wonder if I should reach out to this young girl and see if I can just reach her and just say, listen, I've lost friends of mine. I've seen it happen for decades. You know, alcohol, drugs, it's destruction. And you have other choices. And with the kind of talent and career she was on a path to having, as far as Justin's concerned, or Zach before him, or any of the idols, it's usually a very short lifespan, and I've had just an extraordinary run, and I guess...
Yeah, you're the exception to that rule, though. You've had
Very much so. There are a few. Certainly Donny Osmond,
out here
Elvis, you know, Sinatra did it, but there aren't many that have continued on and had a lot of success and in different areas, you know? But I think if Justin were to come and sit in a room with me and I were to sit down and talk to him, my first advice to him would be follow your heart. Do not necessarily follow what other people tell you you have to be or should be. If you are truly an artist and you truly want to have a future and longevity, never work for money. Always work for the work. I never pursued fame. I pursued the work, and if you continue to do good work, be it as an actor, as a singer, as a songwriter, as a producer, you get involved with great projects, hire the best people you can hire if you're producing. If you're writing, write with great writers. Bring in as much positive impact input as you can, and follow your instinct. Don't let them tell you to do something when you instinctively know it's not right. Remember, he's 16.
Right.
You know, I started, I was 19 when I started recording. I moved back to New York and went to work on Broadway from L.A., and I was raised in New York, and I went back to New York, did a Broadway show, and then started doing a lot of television as an actor. But it's a very, very, very refined air to be able to walk that line and to stay there, because this kind of sending fame never lasts, not for anyone. Sinatra, Elvis, anyone you want to mention, their careers went through periods of time when they were really down. And we tend to only look at the result. You know, the story isn't written until it's all the way written. And if it were about Justin Bieber, I would say always trust your instinct. And if you have someone that you really believe wholeheartedly has your best interest at heart, then trust that person, bounce that off of them. I had a great manager who we did that, and I had the biggest fan club in history from that.
Right, and it helped that it seems like it helped that you came from show business underpinnings anyway, with the, with your the family around you who knew the business.
Oh yeah, my father was a brilliant
Jack
actor.
Jack Cassidy was was famous and well known, and so he could, I would think, kind of navigate some of that.
You know what he gave me?
Field for you.
He gave me a great work ethic, as my brother Sean, my brother Patrick, and my brother Ryan have, who are all very successful in the industry. And I mean, Sean's a very successful writer, producer, and television. Patrick's been in 15 Broadway shows, and you know, he's a terrific actor. He's done 50 television shows.
And your children as well are continuing that tradition. I mean, Katie's
My daughter's doing really, really
doing
well
so
now.
Great.
Katie,
yeah.
And my son has just been in the studio. He is in a couple of weeks doing his first showcase with his band. They're all prodigies. They're at Berklee School of Music in Boston, and they've just been in the studio, and they've just cut an EP, and I think he's the lead singer, writer, and co-writer, and rhythm guitar player. But the band itself is, they're 20, 21 years old, and they're amazing. So it's very exciting for me to see that and how they're, you know, growing. And Katie herself is doing really, really well. She's very dedicated. And the same advice my father said to me, which is talent will survive. If you've got it, it may get very difficult for you. You know, if you choose this profession, there are no guarantees. There usually are no long-term contracts. What it is perseverance, commitment, and finding and doing good work. A lot of it I've had to create for myself, which I'm, you know, really proud of. At the same time, I've been offered wonderful things, and including the beginning when I was doing television dramatic roles and then got the Partridge Family, you know. So for me, it was a very unique situation because I was a musician. I was a singer. I was always, like, the leader of the chorus and the choir in church when I was a kid. So it was always, I think it was like the stars aligned, you know, for that kind of success and that kind of fame.
You know, David, I wanted to bookend a conversation you and I talked about, I think it was about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And you had just, it was at the time when you'd ended your participation in Celebrity Apprentice, but before the pilot, or before the debut show, the premiere.
And by the way, you should have stayed on much longer. That was ridiculous.
I got to tell you, David, I'm watching this show, and when that happened to you, and you and Canseco and Trump
Richard
were
Hatch.
And Hatch.
Oh my
God!
He's in jail, by the way, now.
You know.
Yeah, he's already gone to jail.
He's in jail.
Knock me over
with a feather. Right? Yeah. He goes into jail and he says, "I'll have the usual."
Although it was cut out of the boardroom, when he said, "You know, every person on your team said I should fire you, Richard." He said, "But I can't help it," and they cut this little bit out. "I just can't wait to watch Jose Canseco strangle you." And they cut it out. And I responded with, I swear, I looked at him, I said, "You know, I produced a lot of shows in my life, a few movies for television. If I were producing this show, this is the first and only reality television show I've ever done.
Right.
But I can tell you, if I were producing it, I definitely would fire me and let that happen." Because that's what those shows live on, you know?
Yeah, well, I think Jose, I don't think there was any acting going on there. He looked like he was ready to go off on Hatch.
Oh, no. Episode. Yeah, I'm telling you, there was steam coming out of Jose.
Yeah, you could really
Jose's
see
a really fine guy, I'll tell you what. I gained a tremendous amount of respect
you know,
for him.
I interviewed him when he was with the A's when I was a sports writer back in the day.
Oh, well, I think he was probably a different guy.
He was a fearsome athlete, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. He's an unbelievable physical specimen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now, he's there's like 2% body fat on him.
Yeah, we achieved that. Yeah. David, would you do that whole thing again with The Apprentice, given
no,
the time
no,
you spent?
No, no, no. I'm not a competitive human being in that sense. My work and what I do is working in concert with people. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, that is a competition where you try and eliminate the best player, that someone that you think is going to be, how can I get rid of him? I mean, Richard Hatch, I became a professional reality TV contestant.
Yeah, that's all.
You know, I don't know what he does. Well, I know
it.
He goes to prison, but
he doesn't pay his taxes. That's what he does.
I know what he doesn't do.
No,
pay the government.
He went to prison for lying and for tax evasion, and I think he did it again, which is why his parole, he violated it and is now gone.
Yeah.
So. But, I don't know. He's that kind of guy. I take the high road, and all I can tell you is I conduct myself and I treat people the way I expect to be treated.
Right on. Well, David, we're at the end of this segment, and I want to say one more time, thank you. It's always a pleasure
thank
to talk
you.
To you. Can't wait to see you
my
out here again.
My pleasure to talk to you guys, and I'll see you this weekend.
We'll see you this weekend.
Absolutely.
Orleans, baby.
Saturday and Sunday at the Orleans Arena, live in concert, the great David Cassidy. Thank you once more, and we'll see you soon in Vegas.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
Now take from you your power, in the name of my father, and his father before, my own and your father, cast you out!
That's Anthony Hopkins as Odin in Thor, the latest Marvel Comics superhero blockbuster extravaganza. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at movies that are opening in theaters this week. Thor stars Chris Hemsworth as the title character. He's the Norse god of thunder, but he's been banished to Earth by his father, Odin. He finds himself stranded with his powers depleted, while back in Asgard, Thor's evil brother Loki is ready to take over the kingdom. Thor does a decent job of introducing the main character, who'll be part of the Avengers movie next summer, but otherwise it's pretty unexceptional and unexciting, and like a lot of superhero movies, it stops just as it's starting to get going. I give Thor 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Something Borrowed, a romantic comedy featuring Jennifer Goodwin and Kate Hudson as best friends who are both in love with the same guy.
I don't think there's anybody who knows me like you. Not even Dex does. Not like you do. It's like you totally accept me.
Nurse, why are you saying all this?
I don't know. But when you're getting married, you start thinking about all your big moments, and you're in all of mine.
Me too.
Fortunately, the makers of this movie have figured out that Kate Hudson is actually obnoxious and overbearing instead of cute and lovable, and have cast her accordingly. And Jennifer Goodwin has quite a bit of charm, but at the same time, they can't overcome this movie's tendency towards glossy superficiality. The characters are unlikable, the comedy isn't funny, and the movie just doesn't work. I give Something Borrowed 2 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's opening in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Viva, viva Las Vegas!
Welcome back. Our next guest is the founder of the vocal group 98 Degrees, which performs for sold-out arenas around the world and sold something like 60 billion albums in the 1990s. This experience helped prep him for his current job, which is performing as guest star and MC for Chippendales at the Rio, where he will flex his muscles and vocal cords from May 12th through June 5th. He's on stage Thursdays through Sunday nights. Welcome to the show, Jeff Timmons.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's quite an intro, man.
It always goes downhill from here. Yeah.
That was good.
It went from 60 billion records to flexing my muscles.
So, I mean, give your team credit for the flexing of the muscles and my own team for the exaggeration of your album sales, yeah. Which
well,
is only about 40 billion, I think.
Can we get back to the muscle flexing as the female in the crowd here? Okay, but I have to start really quick with you, Jeff. I have to start because you know what Jeff and I have in common?
What?
You both have a crush on Jeff.
Yeah, probably.
No, she would be the only one in the room to have a crush on me.
All right, I'll stay out of this. Yeah.
Okay, I'm saying we are both from the great state of Ohio.
Yeah, I didn't know
you
were from there.
Cleveland.
So you're from Cleveland.
Yeah.
She's from Ohio.
Yeah, I'm a suburb of Cleveland,
Aloha state, right?
No. Cats and I have
state.
This thing. I'm going to ask a question.
The gem state.
Are you a Cleveland Cavaliers fan,
Jeff? I was.
Thank
I was.
You. I'm what
not.
Do you think of LeBron James?
I'm disappointed in LeBron.
Thank
James,
you.
To be
all right. Thank you.
We have this thing. Now, I will make a point about LeBron. I'll be the devil's advocate.
No, don't try to backtrack because I have backup. I have backup now.
I know.
Jeff.
I will
defer
already,
to 98
LeBron
degrees.
LeBron did his best business decision.
His band's name is based on Heat. Okay,
that's right.
So I will make that point.
Oh, come on.
But LeBron James. We had this argument several weeks ago about LeBron.
Traitor.
And it was that LeBron James, I think, had the right to act as a free agent. In that, and I think that the problem that some fans have, and some people who are maybe not fans of the team or LeBron, have in the way was the way he made the announcement
I think,
am I right about that? Is that unreasonable?
I think you are right because
Thank you.
I'm in the entertainment business, and ultimately,
at
the end of the day, you know, it is entertainment, and it's kind of the same thing with our fans. Fans think that you know because they buy into your entertainment that you owe them something specifically, and you do. You owe them great entertainment.
LeBron owes Cleveland.
Well, I don't think he does.
Yes, he does.
I think.
Jeff, you were on my side, and now you're
I'm on your
away.
Side. In fact, in the way he left, and I think it was very, very arrogant the way.
Thank you. Arrogant.
And where we're from, there isn't much going on. So, you know, you have sports and you have drinking
and
with your
friends. And Michael Stanley Band.
And Michael Stanley Band, PM Magazine, if you remember that.
Hello, my, I want you to know, my guest, okay, people on the radio right now know that my one sister's married to Wayne Newton. Guess who my other sister was married to?
Who?
Michael Stanley.
Michael Stanley.
Oh, watch out.
True
wow.
that.
Yeah.
I know.
Our intro song was,
like
was produced by Michael Stanley. The
yes.
Viva Las Vegas that Wayne Newton sings was produced by him. It's all circles. It all comes back to Akron.
Or unbelievable.
Cleveland. No, Cleveland.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Or Cleveland. They're not the same city, I've learned. Now, let me make this comparison to you, by the way. So LeBron James plays at the time for the Cavaliers. It would be like you as a member of 98 Degrees saying, you know what? I think I can be in a better band, so I'm going to make a deal with like Joey McIntyre of NSYNC, and I'm going to join that group.
Wait, first of all, Joey McIntyre isn't in NSYNC.
I mean, in
New Kids.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, New Kids.
I don't know my boy
98
band.
Degrees is better than New Kids.
Thank you very much.
Let's,
I love
let's
her.
Try, but you know, you get the point. You get the point.
No, yeah, I do get the point.
It would be like making a move just specifically to
I think it's a little. I think it's a little bit different. I think LeBron has the option for me to jump from one so-called boy band to the next. That's not really realistic. The option for a superstar player to jump to a better team situation so he can win a championship, that sounds like it's more of a possibility. But LeBron, you know, you can't fault him for wanting to win a championship. But again, where we're from,
he could if he wouldn't have choked, if he wouldn't have choked in the playoffs last year, he could have won a championship.
Or quit.
Thank you. He quit. He quit. Thank you, Jeff Timmons.
Ooh,
thank you. But, thank you. Oh, I'm getting
harsh.
Excited.
I know you're out of control.
But I feel you. He does as
it's
a professional.
More than 98 degrees for my co-host.
As a businessman,
I'm easily 102 at this point.
He has the right to do what he wants as a businessman.
That's
what
I'm. That's my point.
You can choose a tactful way to do anything.
Yes.
And maybe that wasn't the best way to do it. But you know, he's building a brand, and he said that from the beginning. It's about the business, the personal stuff. He was with Cleveland for a while, stuck with them, but now it's time to build his brand. And I can understand as a business person wanting to do that.
But
there
his
are
brand
ways
is
it.
Gone now.
I think it definitely hurt his brand.
Yeah, well, I mean, Michael Jordan did not leave the Bulls until after he won them a championship. That's all I'm saying.
Although the highest selling jersey in all the world this year. Number one is LeBron James.
Well,
he passed
well because, you know, do you understand? Because we want to burn them.
Yeah, that's right. So you buy them, and burn them.
As a joke, someone gave me a LeBron Miami Heat Christmas gift. It was a jersey.
Did you burn it?
I immediately like spilled my coffee on the floor and wiped it up.
My best friend, did burn his jersey.
Thank you.
And they went outside and burned the jersey.
I threw away all my witness T-shirts. I threw away everything.
Well, yeah, personally, people took it very personal.
We did.
Uh-huh. Where we're from, I don't know where you're from originally. There's a lot to do out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, there is.
But there in Ohio, it's sports, family, and beer.
It's Idaho and Northern California.
And the Indians are doing really well right now. So now we have a good Indian. Okay, so basically, let's recap, and we'll actually get on to the reason why Jeff's here.
This is the reason. I thought I'm the new part of the show.
You are.
The sports segment
exactly.
of the show. Oh, no. I don't have
sports with Jeff.
Yeah. So this all it first started that he put a very negative Cavs
That's
pro
simply
heat
not
tweet
true.
On the Cats with
that
the Dish Twitter
false.
Page. And so all of our fans in Cleveland are not fans.
You can imagine how many fans
are polarized your Cleveland
I'm
fans.
I'm big in
by
Cleveland. So now Jeff and I are big in Cleveland. The jury's still out on you.
Well,
Jeff.
This brings us to the point.
The point of why he's actually here.
Why Jeff is on stage with naked men. Now,
awesome.
Which is also to, I mean,
wait, how did I get, I can't believe I got off the naked men topic to talk about sports.
Well,
what is wrong with
basketball
me?
Basketball players are also naked.
That's true.
Somewhat.
There you go.
So if
Tony
we can
Parker,
make if we can make that don't get me started on Tony Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way. If you can make the leap here, you're trying to establish a new brand with the with being on stage with Chippendales. How does this happen? How does this relationship? How was it initiated?
Well,
for you?
Honestly, I would have never thought about doing something like the Chippendales, a show like the Chippendales, in a million years. But a former manager of mine is the head PR guy,
Michael Caprio,
Michael
who
Caprio.
We love. Shout
Michael
out to him.
Caprio.
Hello,
awesome.
He's in the control room right now.
We
love
fantastic.
Him.
I have a poster of him. Long
he's,
story.
He's great, and he
is.
Said, "Hey,
just
look,
ask him."
I want to. He said, "I want to run something by you." You know, I've done a lot of music. I've been producing other artists for a long time. And now I'm about to come out with some of my own new music. And it's been a while since 98 Degrees is out. And a lot of people probably don't remember me specifically from the group
yes,
by name.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, I have to get back out there again. But Michael said, hey, look, the Chippendales brought Vegas is becoming like Broadway now, mm-hmm. with their entertainment. It's always been an entertainment mecca, but now they're really starting to soup it up, bring celebrities in to guest on these shows with the Peep Show and Holly Madison and the Spice Girls doing the Peep Show and all that mm-hmm. stuff. But right. as far as guys go, there haven't been many opportunities with regards to that. I mean, they like The Price is Right or something like that. But
Drew Lachey.
Hello, Drew Lachey. Shout out to Drew, who is in town right now.
This is Drew from my group.
Mr. Plinko.
Did you go see him?
I haven't yet.
Drew likes the Plinko.
Wait, we want to go with you. When you go see Drew at Price is Right, we want to go with you.
Okay, we'll make it a date and we'll make sure we play.
Yeah, we got to get in there. That would be fun.
I just like the fact that he said, let's make it a date.
with the three of us. With a tag along. It's a date with us too.
This is how our dates usually end up.
I don't even know if Jeff is married. I've already made a date with him. So there you go. That's not good.
Oh,
that's
all right.
My wife's cool with everything.
Oh, good. Well, there you go. Okay, so we have a date and you are the chaperone.
Anyway, you were saying.
Anyway, so Michael said, you know what, consider this. The Chippendales is a choreographed show. It's a multi-million-dollar production. It's not a bunch of guys with girls sticking money in their G-strings. Come check the show out. I was reluctant, but came and checked the show out. Thought the show was very, very entertaining, and the elements that I would be providing are not quite the same ones that are involved in the show. I'd come and MC the show, sing some new songs, sing some 98 Degrees songs.
Oh,
sort
great.
Of bring another bit of entertainment to the show that's already great and entertaining, and it gets me in front of a fan base that already exists for me, but maybe I could re-energize and let them see that I'm out there again.
Which is lunatic women.
Which is women, yeah, right. And I was excited about it and still am very excited about the opportunity, believe it or
not. So this is not like we've had recently we've had Claire Sinclair, who's been put into the Crazy Horse Paris Review, the Playmate of the Year, and she's right. dancing. She's actually in set pieces as a fully realized member of the troupe doing what they do. That's not the case with you.
No, she actually takes the clothes off and looks.
I'm
so there'll be no clothing taking off.
I'm not saying that. Maybe I'll take my shirt off if the crowd is right.
Okay.
Oh, do you hear that, ladies? Enough. You have to scream in the crowd, and then there may be some clothing removal.
I might wear a Pearl Snap shirt myself, Dishy.
Wow. Well, wow, I want to see that.
You know, if you come see the show, I'll bring you up, and then I'll put you out in front of these girls, and we'll see what happens when you get in front of them.
God, I can think of that being only uncomfortable.
I can see you getting excited about it.
I'm getting excited about it.
By excited, you mean acutely nervous. Jeff, you are standing on the base, my friend.
I'm excited. I could see the both of you guys doing a little taking of the shirt off. I like that.
Yeah, I'll have to work on my moves, that spin move thing I've been working on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
well, you can teach me, because I'm not much of a dancer myself.
You have the Chris Phillips dance down from Zoe Bowie.
This is my lessons from Zoe Boy entirely. I got to go to YouTube and look up 98 Degrees.
There you go.
Or ask Drew when he's playing Plinko if he busts
out. You know,
but
it is. Now, have you ever thought about, I mean, Drew obviously went to Dancing with the Stars and then now has gone into hosting. Have you ever thought about going on to TV hosting?
You know, I was asked to do a lot of that stuff, to be honest with you. But at the time I was asked to do that, I had just gotten off the road with the group. I was married at the time. I had two kids from a previous marriage. So I was spending a lot of time. We were on the road for so long. I wanted to spend time with my kids. And so I wasn't taking those opportunities, always stuck with music, even if it was behind the scenes producing and things like that. Would I entertain it? Absolutely. Nowadays, going and doing that stuff, you know, reality television's huge and Dancing with the Stars is major. And if I had the opportunity to do that or The Apprentice, of course, I probably would take that opportunity now.
Yeah. Well, I know. It's strange because both Joy Fatone and Drew have come in mm-hmm. to Price is Right. And it's crazy that we went to go see Drew because I hadn't seen Drew in a while. And the line afterwards to get their picture taken, I mean, it was like every single person. I mean, we just wanted to say hi, you know, and they're like, oh, we'll stick around until, you know, we're done with the meet and greet. And we had to wait like an hour and a half. I'm like, we might as well go for lunch and come back. I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, even the 98 Degrees fans totally came to Price is Right Live to see him.
They would. I mean, the one thing about that whole era is that era was a unique era in music because it was a pop resurgence, an explosion at that time after the grunge era.
Everybody's doing vocal and dancing.
And it was vocal dancing. It was a very entertaining time. It was wide open. Radio, pop radio was still huge. CD sales were still a big thing. So that era was very impactful on that generation. And it's just like when we were growing up, I'm probably a little bit older than you are, and
Thank
we
you.
Had the new kids.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Or we had, you know,
Backstreet Boys.
We had the New Kids. Backstreet Boys was more of the same time.
Yeah, it was the same. NSYNC, you and Backstreet Boys.
For me, it was Guns N' Roses and
Hello,
absolutely,
Motley Crue. The Crew. You guys were talking about those.
There is no greater band than Motley Crue, fronted by Vince Neil. I'll just say that.
And I just wanted to say,
wait, I have a different thought of that. Can we say Bon Jovi?
I want to say F you and F you. All right, because
he's poking at us, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm gonna poke you guys. They can't see
security.
It.
Okay, how many women out there can say right now, "Hey, I just got poked by Jeff"?
There are millions who can
we don't
say
bring
it,
that up.
But
right
there
now
are only a few who can mean it. You're listening. I gotta do this.
I'd rather.
I gotta do this. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. Sitting with us is Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees, who's co-starring at the Chippendales at the Rio May 12th through June 5th. You know, one thing I've noticed about the guys over at Price is Right, both Drew and Fatone, is the way they walk through a space is the way they move through the casino floor, in this case, or around the theater. They move, they scoot, they walk like they're running. And this is, I don't know if this is necessary for everybody who's in that environment, but it's just like they have their blinders on and they are moving around. And do you still have that feeling that people are going to recognize you and know you from your affiliation with 98
Degrees? You know, even when that's a very good question.
Yeah, because I couldn't keep up with the guy.
All that stuff depends on your own perception of yourself and your own perception of what you think people think of you. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I never kind of bought into that whole thing. I would be the guy that they'd have to really take out of that situation.
You're like, stop and like, hey, let's grab a drink.
For me, it was a luxury to have people want to talk to you and want to buy your music and buy into your product.
Right.
And to me, it was like a dream come true. So to have people actually want to sit and talk with me, well, I'd sit and talk with them as long as I possibly could until I was escorted out of there. And it was only as crazy as you make it, I think, in your own mind. You can walk into a casino by yourself and you'll get stopped, of course, still.
Uh-huh.
Or you can walk into a casino with two giant, huge security guards with you wearing a hat
that's
and glasses.
How I do it.
This is what
that's
Joey Fatone does. And this is what Fatone does.
And then
does.
Everybody,
this is his thing.
Then
yeah,
that will draw more attention to you. And then you'll act like you're scooting out of there. To me, I've always just been comfortable with the way I am in my own skin. I like talking to people. If it takes my time out of the day and they're still excited about seeing me, you know, whatever.
Yeah, good
so,
for you.
So at Chippendales, after the show, will you have a little meet and greet?
Absolutely. Oh,
they
yeah,
do that anyway, don't they?
They do that anyway. And I do that after every show, always have, always will.
Okay, did you hear that, ladies? You can get a meet and greet. Come to the show, Chippendales, Rio.
And the occasional man. Don't forget the guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, that is true.
They
do have a male
following.
We have
following.
To be fair. We have to be fair.
What has been the reception from the permanent cast members of having you come in? Because sometimes when you have stunt casting, what they call stunt casting, or bringing in a star like yourself, some of the people who are in the show permanently are like, oh, God, we got to put up with this for like a couple of weeks. This guy is not one of us. And, you know, we'll bite the bullet. But how's that interaction with those
I was
guys?
Worried about that as well. I mean, you know, look, these guys are staples. They've got their own show. It's seamless. They've been working at it for a long time. And you don't want to go and disrupt their thing. And the last thing I want them to think is I'm going to come in and expect special treatment and act like I'm better than them. And I'm not doing that. And I think they know that. And I think Michael's told them about that. I got to meet one of the guys in the cast today. Great guy. He's very excited about it. Was on a radio interview with two of the other guys. Everybody's been really warm. They've embraced the idea. I think they understand that, you know, if the fit is right, if it's someone that wants to come in and help make the show better, maybe draw more attention to it, then I think they're excited about it because it draws more attention to them and what they're doing.
Right.
I'm not going in as an elitist and, you know, thinking this is my something that I'm going to be cooler than those guys.
But we're not allowed to look at him during the entire interview. No,
that's right. And I noticed you looked up a couple of times.
I'm so sorry.
We're going to have to edit. Anytime you looked up at me during this interview, we're going to edit those clips.
Gosh, I can't help it. You're so cute.
Oh, yeah.
I can't help it.
We'll have my intro and that'll be it.
Exactly. So now, since 90 Degrees, you were on the VH1 reality show. Was it Man Band or something like that? Wasn't it called?
Yeah, it was called Mission Man Band. It was
Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC, some of the guys from Color Me Bad I don't remember who else.
You got it. Brian Abrams from Color Me Bad, Chris from NSYNC, and Rich Cronin from LFO, who's now passed away.
Oh, that's right. He was sick.
Mm-hmm. He had cancer for a long time, battled with that, but enormous talent. And very, he could have done, talk about a guy that could stand up and do stand up on the fly. Rich Cronin was like that. He was amazing. But that whole experience was interesting to me. I didn't want to do it because, you know, reality, everybody sets you up to fail
I've
on reality TV show. The best shows on reality TV shows on TV are train wrecks. And that's what they wanted to make this show.
I've produced some reality TV shows. Yeah, I know
so
what you're
looking at. That's right. And you've done talk shows, so you know the spiel.
You're sort of involved in one now that's a train wreck.
Oh, don't even, we're not talking about that. I don't know what you're talking about.
And the more screwed up about it that it is, the better.
Yeah,
but we refused to buy into what they wanted us to do. So it made the show dull.
Integrity doesn't go well with these reality shows, does it?
No,
artistic, personal integrity. They don't want any of that.
Look,
they
I
want
was
meltdowns.
Sold on,
they want addiction. Yeah. Right,
I was sold on, you're going to come in, we're going to make this super boy band, and you got all this talent. You're going to work with this best producer, Brian Michael Cox, who's a Grammy-winning producer. And how much did we film in the studio out of the 12 days we were there? Probably like an hour. Okay, three songs in like an hour or two.
Uh-huh.
So it was more about trying to set us up to fail. I mean, they had us go sing our first song in front of an Orlando Magic at an Orlando Magic halftime show, which is all guys.
Oh, perfect. Oh, okay? Yeah, that's just
definitely
the crowd.
Not our demo. And so they were going to try to make us look bad. Ultimately, though, although the show was not a success, we didn't expect it to be. We wanted to just try something fun. The experience of shooting the show and getting out of your comfort level and having these guys set you up and try to get through that is something I wouldn't take back. It was a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of being thrown to the wolves, and now you now know.
Now I know how it works, you know, so I'm
now,
aware.
Now, would there ever be a chance for a 98 Degrees reunion?
Yeah, I think, you know, we saw some of the success that the New Kids have had with their comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily their record sales, but their touring's been phenomenal.
They draw great, yeah.
They're killing it, and Backstreet Boys has now joined with them, and there was some talk about us going with them as a super tour, the three bands, and maybe even Boys to Men at some point.
Wow, yeah.
This is how LeBron James, if he were managing this situation, would handle it.
Gosh.
Right? He'd put it all together
only
like a super band.
No, LeBron,
only he didn't leave his team.
Exactly. LeBron would
say, I
want to be a New Kid now. I don't want to be a 98 Degrees, which would be a big downsize as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you very much.
Thank
I love
you.
Her, by the way.
She's very preachy.
Yeah, she's awesome.
And
thank
not
you.
In a bad way. So what is the end game with the Chippendales affiliation? Is this something you're going to do recurring, or are you kind of testing this out?
I think we're going to see how it goes. I mean, let's see how the crowds react, if it actually increases the attention that the show gets, if it's something that makes sense for everybody. I'd like to stick with it for a while, see if it works. It might be a good avenue to keep going, but you know, ultimately I want to take the opportunity to do the best that I can with it, let everybody know I have new music coming out, and I'm going to be releasing my music in a whole new way.
Didn't you do something with the internet where it's a free download, but then someone has to tell somebody else?
That's it. That's one of the there are several new technologies that are out. All the music I'm ever going to give out is going to be free, period.
We love
because
that.
Because you can get it anyway for free. So
if
you can't beat them, join them. The way I'm going to make money from it is how many people actually get exposed to the music. And I'll do some cross-promoting and cross-branding and all this other technical stuff. But the bottom line is, one of the technology is you share it to get it. So I'm going to put music videos with every song. So if I put a music video out, there'll be a link. But you have to share it at least one time among your social networks, your Facebook, your MySpace, your Twitter, or your email, to get a chance to download it and have it and keep
it
forever.
Brilliant.
What that
brilliant.
Does is help me grow my fan base and gives you music for free. All
the
you
fans
gotta do is
love
share
that.
It.
The fans love
and,
it.
And so, where do they go to get that? Your website?
They can go to website. My website, jefftimmons.com. But there's a new site that we're going to be using called ShareFuse. SHAREFUZE.com.
Okay.
And it would be sharefuse.com/Jeff Timmons.
And your Twitter is at JeffTimmons98, right? Correct?
It's at JeffTimmons_98.
Underscore. Those underscores always
those
infernal underscores. I remember
always
a time when there were no underscores.
Yeah,
now
they're
see, really universal.
Yeah, underscore always screws me up too because people don't know what underscore is.
Yeah.
No.
And it's just the line on the bottom.
That's
the
a good
dash.
Way to put it.
LeBron
press
James
shift.
Knows what it is.
Oh,
he
no,
underscores
LeBron,
30
please.
Points a game. We have to cut it short now.
Traitor.
We've reached the finale.
Oh, I've had
gonna,
so much
I got
fun.
The final
we're
going
to argue about this Cavaliers Heat thing after the show.
Okay.
We want to thank the great Jeff Timmons.
Okay,
Thanks so much,
I have a question for you before we leave.
Am I talking?
Yes, I'm interrupting you. Before we leave, are you going to go
we're not
see
doing a show
the show?
Here.
Are you going to go see Jeff's show with me?
I will go. Yes, I will.
Okay.
One seat. That means you're on my lap.
You guys got to come. But you know I'm going to make you come up on stage. It's a guarantee.
All
we will
right.
announce
I'll
what night Katz and I will be in the audience so that the women can all see Katz on the stage.
I will do it. I will even learn a couple of new dance moves.
Love it.
You heard
that's
it here.
I'm talking about.
I got him to say it on the radio.
On
okay,
a show
sorry,
that
you
might
can say
not
goodbye
even air.
Now. You can say goodbye now.
Thank you. We want to thank the great Jeff Timmons of 98 Degrees and more recently guest starring in the Chippendales. It should be a circus at the Rio, May 12th through June 5th. Thanks once more, Jeff. We'll do this again. Honestly,
I love
it.
It thanks so much for your time. You guys are very entertaining.
You as well.
Thank you,
brother. We love Las Vegas.